I will not be before you long. If you don't mind standing up with me as we take a journey to the New Testament, the book according to St. John, coming out of chapter 20, verses 13 through 14. John 20, 13 through 14. Herein and therein you will find these God-breathed words. Dear woman, why are you crying? The angels asked her. Because they have taken away my Lord, she replied. I don't know where they have put him. She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she did not recognize him. I'd like to talk to you from the thought, you don't look like what you've been through. You may be seated. You don't look like what you've been through. This comes fresh off the heels of Easter Sunday last weekend. I just thought it also fitting to continue the story. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you are about to do. Lord God, I pray that you increase while I decrease, that you would give a right now word for your people. That if they look back over their life, after everything they have gone through, encouraging themselves that they can say, I don't look like what I've been through. Lord, have your way in this place. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If we go back to the story, back to the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus had just had the Last Supper with his disciples. And knowing that his time is now at hand, Jesus goes to the garden, leaves his disciples there, asks Peter, James, and John to go a little further with him. He stops, puts them there, and the Bible says that he goes a stone throw away. And there he begins to pray and to seek God's face because he knows what's about to happen next. Jesus was praying. The Bible said he was in agony because he knew what was in this cup that he would have to drink. And he kept saying, Lord, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. In this cup is pain and suffering that I didn't cause. You're asking me to drink from the sins of others, the ones who should be on that cross. You're asking me to go in their stead. He's praying in agony, trying to wrestle with this thing. And the Bible says he gets up and he goes back to Peter, James, and John, and he finds them asleep. And he asks them, can you not pray for 1 hour? I am going through, and I'm trying to seek God's face. And I called you through to stand with me and pray with me. And while I'm in God's face, you are asleep. And that's amazing because when you called on me while I was asleep, on the boat as it was rocking and reeling on the sea, You asked me to get up. How dare you sleep? Or are you going to allow us to perish? And I got up and said, peace, be still. That when the Pharisees and the Sadducees began to challenge you on rituals and traditions, I stood up and spoke on your behalf. That when we needed to feed over 5,000 people and you didn't have the money or the food, I broke fish from fish and bread from bread. I was there for you. But now when I need you, you asleep. Is there anybody else who can relate to that? That they will call you and you will hop up at a moment's moment. You sleep, you're tired, but you called me and I'm going to come see about you at the hospital. You need a little money in your pocket. I'm there for you. But when it's my turn, when I need you, you have something else to do. You don't have time. That's not the right moment. Many of us can relate to what Jesus is going through. He goes back and he prays to God, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. And I saw something interesting there. That you can serve God and struggle to trust him. You can serve God and struggle to trust him. What do you mean? You trying to tell me Jesus was struggling? He was in agony over this cup that he has to drink. Remember, you want to use these big words, Christophany, Theophany. Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. His divinity was not struggling with what God asked him to do. It was his humanity that was struggling. His humanity is now at war with his divinity. Jesus told his disciples, "Can you not stay up 1 hour and pray? Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." They're struggling. That you can serve God and struggle to trust him. Think about the man who had the son who was vexed with a demon and he couldn't get the demon out and he said, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." That you can serve God and yet struggle to trust him. Because I'm doing what God has told me to do. I have heard that if I pay my tithes, I will never be sick another day in my life. I will never be broke another day in my life. The devil is a lie. Where is that in the Bible that says that if I give my all to God, I will never suffer again? If that's the case, how do you explain it to the person who has given God their time and their tithes and never missed, but yet now they only got 2 weeks left on the job? You telling me, God, to serve you, and I believe that this person you sent me was for me through you, but now we in front of the judge for divorce. You telling me to serve you, and I'm struggling right now because you want me to believe in a God I have not seen and ignore what my eyes are showing me, which is a clear and present danger. I know what you're saying, God, but my eyes. You telling me to believe in you, but the doctor said I only got 6 months. I hear what you're saying, but I'm struggling right now for what my eyes are showing me. Jesus, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. The issue is not that you're struggling to trust him. That is nothing to be embarrassed about. That's human. So then how do you deal with this? What did Jesus do? not my will, but your will be done. The issue is not that you're struggling. The issue is can you push past the struggle? Can you push past it? He's going through. The struggle is real. He goes back a third time, and he sees that they're sleeping. He tells them to sleep on, for the time is at hand. Judas comes with a bunch of men to come and arrest Jesus. Betrayed him with a kiss. And they dragged him from the garden and took him from kangaroo court to kangaroo court, from judgment hall to judgment hall, as he's hearing all these accusations land on him, and none of them are sticking. These unbelievers, these judges, couldn't find anything wrong. But those who say they claim to serve God found every reason. Why is it that the world think you okay? But people in the church, all right, anyway. Struggling, dragged, beat on, spat upon. Or are you who you say you are? Take him before Pilate. I don't see anything wrong with this man. I know what I'll do. I will have him whipped. That ought to do it. So they take him and they tie him to a post. Take out a whip of cat and nine tails. Tie with bones and pieces of metal. And across his back. Across his chest. Down his legs. Across his face. Over and over and over again. Untie him from the post. Bring him back before Pontius Pilate. I got it. I will take out the worst of the worst, Barabbas. Present Barabbas and Jesus. Which one do you want me to set free? Barabbas the murderer or Jesus, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords? Just the other day, the same people who screamed out, Hosanna, Hosanna, are now the same ones who are saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pontius Pilate, I see nothing wrong with this man, so I'm going to wash my hands of this situation. So they take it upon him, throw a Roman cross across his back and march him through the streets, whipping him and mocking him all the way through, going down Ria Della Rosa, these steps, that each time he went down, the weight of the cross coming across his back, still being whipped. Makes it to Golgotha's hill. Hook him to the cross. Arms stretched. Legs bound with ribbons in his feet. As he's hoisted into the air. Laughing at him. If you are who you say you are, come down from that cross. But he stayed. For you and for me. The Bible says at about 3 o'clock, He said, into thy hand I commit my spirit. It is finished. And he died. And the Bible says that the earth began to rock and reel like a drunken man. He hung there between a darkening heaven and a trembling earth. And once he gave up the ghost, there was a Roman soldier that said, surely that must have been the Son of God. The Bible says that they took him down from the cross and they put him in a borrowed tomb. All day Friday, not a word from the Lord. All day Saturday and Saturday night, not a peep from our Savior. But then the Bible says early one Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands, that the stone was rolled away and his body was no longer there. There was a woman by the name of Mary of Magdala that she went to the tomb. And when she got there, there were two angels. Why are you weeping? She's crying because she did not know where they took Jesus. She was more concerned about what she lost than she missed what she still had. Jesus' physical death caused Mary mental death. She was so caught up in the man that she missed the message. Jesus was preparing them this entire time for his departure. That they were supposed to pick up the mantle, but they were so caught up in him that they missed the message. How many of us are here today for the message or the man? Pastor, love as great as he is, hope that you're not here because of him. He would hope that you were here for the message that comes out of Living Faith Community Church. She's weeping because of what she saw caused her to forget what she heard. For the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Sometimes we just need to step back from our situation and remember what we heard. What is it that God said to you before you went through what you're going through right now? Didn't he tell you that he will be with you always? Didn't he say, I will never put more on you than you can bear? How did you forget once your situation showed up? Did his word change because you're going through something? She went to the sepulcher, the grave. Sepulchers are there to put the body of our dead. And then we also may have a headstone to remind us of who is there, to mark an event. The point of a gravestone is for you not to stay there. How many of us are stuck at the graveyard? The angel said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why do we have so much trouble? Or why do we work so hard to keep the dead things in our life? Why do we work so hard to keep sin in our life? We will come up with many reasons why we need to hold on to the dead things in our life. But be real quick to drop the good things if it don't go the way we like it to go. Holding on to the dead things. I know, God, you saved me, but you got to wean me off this. Why? I know I shouldn't be there, but I just need a few more times with this. You came to Jesus for this reason, and yet you still can't let it go. Stuck with the dead things because I need to work it out first because I'm looking for closure. I'm thankful for the things that God did not allow me to get closure from. Sometimes you just have to be ripped away from that situation. I know that you went through. I know that you're going through, and you just want to know why. Can you just tell me why? Why did you break my heart? Why did I lose this? God, can I just get closure so I can move forward? I ripped you away from it, and you're still here. What do you need closure for? It reminds me of Lot's wife. She needed closure, too, and ended up a pillar of salt because she couldn't let it go. Is what you're trying to find closure from worth losing what he freed you from? Do you really need the answer? Do you really need the closure? There's some things you don't need to know. Just be thankful that God did it. She's crying, stuck at the sepulcher. I don't know where he is. Then the Bible says that this man showed up behind her, and she thought it was the gardener, not knowing that it was Jesus. How did she not recognize that it was Jesus? I can tell you. Because she saw what he looked like on Friday. Oh, okay, you missed that. On Friday, he was beaten upon recognition, bleeding from every part of his body, a weak and a feeble man. And now this man who was walking upright, not looking like what he'd been through, caused her to miss who he was because she was looking for Friday Jesus and not looking for Sunday Jesus. Her last reference was about how she left him. The last reference people have about you was the last time they saw you. And so therefore, people expect you to be the same way when they see you again. You can't be the same person who had cancer. Because the doctor said you had 6 months and you now in year six. You can't be the same person. I saw the pictures from the wreck. Can't nobody survive that. I saw how your friends left you. When you're the same one that was on the corner, you cannot be who you said you were. You can't be the one that was sentenced for 10 to 20. How you already out? You cannot be. People don't believe your story because they know how you ought to look. They know how you ought to be. They know how you ought to be acting. How dare you come up in here like you haven't been through nothing? How dare you come up in here acting like you all changed? Sometimes you gotta let people know, my story didn't end with you.
Okay.
Don't think I stopped living because you left me. You might have left me, but God kept me. Ethel, do I have two or three people who are not ashamed to stand up and shout, God kept me? He kept me. I'm not here so that you can believe it. I just want you to see it. Because you thought that I couldn't make it out. You thought that there could not be a change in my life. I don't look like what I've been through. Because he kept me. He kept me. Y'all can sit down. Just a few more, minutes. It wasn't until she heard his voice that she realized who he was. We always can't recognize God in our situation because the devil is an awesome imitator. He will present himself in a way to make it look like God, because that's how you think God will show up. In other words, the devil just giving you what you want to see. That's why he says to walk by faith and not by sight. You need to hear from God and stop trying to see with your own God's eyes, God. Because how do you explain the last boyfriend you said came from God? How do you explain the girlfriend that who spoke wonderfully about you, then tore you down with the same mouth, but yet you said that she came from God because that's what you saw? Satan can make things look good, but the one thing he cannot do is imitate God's voice. Right. Satan can make things look good. He can't imitate God's voice, because when God speaks, something has to happen. When God speaks, something has to change. When God said, let there be, it was. You know one of the things God can't do? Tell a joke. If God said to you, guess what? There was a pink polka dot elephant behind you, and you turn around, what's going to be there? Because God can't tell a joke. So what I'm saying is, if God spoke to you, if God spoke something in your life, it has to happen. And the Bible says his word will not return until it has done what he commanded it to do. So just because it has not showed up yet, God is not a man that he should lie. The devil cannot imitate God's voice. Jesus recognized her, but she didn't recognize him. Oh, man. Jesus recognized her, but she didn't recognize him. No matter what you go through, Jesus will still recognize you. I believe there is somebody here today who has said, but God, I have done some things I shouldn't have done. I have said some things I shouldn't have said. I know I promised you over and over, but yet I keep doing the same thing. And do you know why you're still here? Because he recognized you. It don't matter that people have turned their back on you. You have heard people say you are not who I thought you were. I thought you was a Christian. I thought you was this. I thought you was that. And don't recognize you no more. Jesus said, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. So which means I knew everything you was going to do and wasn't going to do. Every truth you held on to and every lie you told. It don't matter if you are the best you now or your trifling self later. God still recognizes you. No matter what you go through, he still knows your name. If you feel like you can't handle it no more, if you feel like you at your wit's end, and you got pills on the table, gun in the drawer, tired of being tired, God still knows your name. He still will recognize you. He just needs you to call out to him. Last thing, and I'm out of here. When she realized it was him, she clung to him. What did Jesus say? Do not cling to me. I have not yet ascended to the Father. In other words, I need to give back to God what he's given me. But Mary held on to him. Let me go. Because Mary thought that he came back for her. No. He came back for everybody. But there are some of us who are so spiritual that we think we only have access to him. You are not the only one who have access to God. Do not think so highly of yourself. The same God that hung on that cross for you was the same God that hung on the cross for me. I don't care how many degrees you got a PhD, I got a GED. He still gave me access. The same access you got is the same access I got. How dare you try to hog Jesus for yourself? Jesus said, don't cling to me. I need you to cling to the unbelievers who don't know me. I need you to cling to those that you have a grudge with. I need you to cling to those that you have not forgiven yet. Because how can you say you love me who you haven't seen and hate the very brother you see every day? Jesus rose that you may rise. He rose out of the grave so that you can rise out of your affliction, that you can arise out of your disappointment, that you can rise out of your shame, that you can rise out of your shouts. Everything that you are going through, God has risen you out of, and then he rose you to eternal life, to salvation, to a better life, rose you to grace and mercy. Though you may have been messed up, you are now blessed up. I don't know if you got that. You may have been messed up, but now God says you are blessed up. Look at yourself. You don't look like what you've been through. So stop worrying about everything that you lost. Stop worrying about what people are going to think about you and say about you. If I was not mistaken, it was God that woke you up this morning. It was God that made a way out of no way. It was God that heard your prayers. That when mother and father forsaken you, God said, I will take you up. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You don't look like what you've been through. Give God the highest praise that he didn't leave you the same way that he found you, but God had the audacity to clean you up and dust you off and spin you around and put your feet on solid ground. That's the God that we serve. Is he good? Is he good? Will God not do it? Will God not make a way? Will God not make a way in your life? He rose so that you can rise. He's a God of not just a second chance. He's a God of every chance. Every time you open your eyes to see another day, that was your chance.
Thank you.
And he didn't raise you up based off of what other people say about you.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're here because of what he says about
you.
That you're valuable. That you mean something to him. Dust yourself off.
Yes.
Stop worrying about what you're going through or what you've been through. He says to cast all your cares upon him because he loves you, he adores you, he died for you, he rose for you so that you are more than a conqueror. Amen and may God bless you.